Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
I got somebody who's pretty good on this subject. I also have, not that that means that this person is not, but what Sean Hannity said about it last night.
They're saying that Cohen, get this, allegedly told investigators he was negotiating a deal in Moscow to maybe gift Vladimir Putin a $50 million penthouse in the proposed building project that Donald Trump wasn't paying for, so that rich Russian oligarchs would want to live there. And just moments ago, John Roberts reported a source close to the president calling it, quote, nuts. It would be a stupid idea. And the president never heard of any such deal. The project never got off the ground. No Trump Organization investments were ever made. And today, the Trump Organization has no buildings in Russia. You wouldn't know it if you were watching the mainstream media. There's, by the way, even if it had happened, this is the most fascinating part. There's no crime here. And in 2017, this potential project was widely reported everywhere. Fake news, CNN, ABC News. This is not a new story. In any way, is it a new story? That doesn't matter to the left, and it certainly didn't matter to Robert Mueller. He's more interested in making the mainstream media bubble and fizz like Alka-Seltzer and water, and he's just desperate. All he wants to do every day is mention Russia in some way, indicting all these, you know, former KGB guys, all their intelligence people that he's never bringing to the United States, ever. And by the way, Robert Mueller is playing your media with their bias and their hate of Trump just like a fiddle. Even if Michael Cohen's timeline revelation was accurate, let's say it is, you know, that it wasn't January, it was June. No crime was committed, ever. It wouldn't be a crime.
It's an interesting point. Sean Hannity last night on Fox News. Greg Miller is the national security and intelligence reporter at the Washington Post. His book, The Apprentice, is maybe the best book about the current political scene I've read, and I've read a lot of them this season. He was on with us a few months ago when his book came out. He's back on to talk more about this story. Greg, welcome back. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks for having me.
What do you make of Sean Hannity's monologue?
He's going on at length there about how there is no crime, but of course, Cohen yesterday pleaded guilty to yet another crime, which was that he had lied about this. I mean, if all of this is above board, and as Trump says, no, it's all cool, as he tweeted today, why have we seen just so much dishonesty about it? And if it's true that the Trump Organization was floating the idea of offering a penthouse condo to the Russian leader, I mean, that would absolutely be a crime. That would be a crime in Russia and a crime in the United States. But you know, the outrage shouldn't hinge on the question of whether there's a crime here. There's a more fundamental issue at work here, which is that throughout a campaign, a presidential campaign, right up until he got the Republican nomination, Trump was being awfully, awfully positive about Vladimir Putin, bashing NATO, saying, basically talking out of the Russian, taking pages straight from the Russia playbook without disclosing to the public that he was pursuing a huge business deal in Moscow the entire time.
If I may, it seems to me the crime that may have been committed here, evidently that Michael Cohen is admitting to, is lying to Congress, which is ironic,
correct,
though, because what Trump is saying and Sean Hannity is saying is the thing that he lied to Congress about was in itself not criminal. That is, it would be okay for the president to not only be working on a building in Moscow in January, it would also be okay for him to be doing it in June. So while you shouldn't have lied about that, if you told the truth, it would be okay. Is my read on that correct?
That's right. And Cohen is saying the reason that he lied about it was that so that he would remain on the same page with Trump in his statements during his presidential campaign, that he had nothing to do with Russia, no interest in Russia, no money from Russia, when Cohen knows that right up until June, in the cusp of the Republican convention, to be false.
Okay, but what if the president had campaigned on that? Hey, I've got international business ties. I know Russia. In fact, we may put up a hotel there in 2019 or 2020. What if he had owned that all the way along? I don't know that that would have damaged his brand that much. Do you?
Yeah, it's a good question. I'm not sure that it would either. It would have obviously given voters at least the chance to process that information, and it would have given them a better ability to understand why he as a candidate and then later as president has been so so eager to please Vladimir Putin.
But if evidently Michael Cohen's not telling the truth at some point. Either he's lying about lying or he was lying. But we don't have any evidence that the president lied to the Congress about this. So I wonder, how do we get from Michael Cohen's obfuscation to Donald Trump per se?
Well, that's a really great question, and you have to look at the sequence of events here, and sometimes it's sort of complicated to figure this out. We get this Cohen plea very shortly after Trump has finally submitted his answers in writing to Mueller and the special counsel. So Mueller locks down Trump's testimony on this very question. Did you know about that your organization was pursuing a deal in Moscow for a Trump Tower through the middle of your presidential campaign? We don't know what Donald Trump's answer was to that question, but Mueller has that answer, and it's on in writing. And now we know that Cohen has changed his story, and the question is whether Trump's story matches Cohen's story.
Right, and I'm willing. I get it. I'm glad you put it that way. So I'm willing to bet that those answers don't match, and then we'll have to figure out who's telling the truth. You know, I imagined a scene the other day where you walk into the room and there's the cookie jar and some cookies are missing, and Michael Cohen is standing there with Donald Trump. You could put Paul Manafort in that room too. You would never know who took the cookies.
You never know whose account can you trust.
Those cookies are gone, and that's all you'll ever know. But but that's really what we have here, right? It'll be a he said, he said. I wonder if the president's dishonesty in the past is going to haunt him here.
Well, it's possible that it could end up that way. That's absolutely true. But Cohen's plea indicates that he has communication. He had records of communications with others in the Trump family, including Trump Jr., including Ivanka, who goes so far as to recommend an architect for this development idea. So we don't know how much evidence Robert Mueller has. We know that President Trump stays away from email, so it may be true that there is no email record of Cohen briefing Trump on his ongoing pursuit of a property in Moscow. But if Cohen has any other evidence that they discussed this project in any other way, I mean, Mueller will know about that because he's gotten, 70 hours now of cooperation from Michael Cohen.
Greg Miller is the author of The Apprentice. It's about the Russian hack and literally how it happened. Names and dates. It's fascinating. He's a national security reporter over at Washington Post. What about Sean Hannity's other point? He said there's no crime here. Now what was the other point that he made that I wanted to ask you about? Anything else about Sean Hannity's monologue that sort of jumped out at you?
Oh, I don't know. I think that, as I said, there are sort of legalistic ways to look at this, and then there's just sort of the right thing to do and expectations of people who are hold public office for us. And the idea that it's okay to run for the presidency in the United States while secretly pursuing a potentially highly lucrative business deal with one of the nation's main adversaries over decades and decades, without telling the American people about that, I just think is hard to excuse.
He does sort of backtrack on that, though. He says, besides, what if I did? I mean, it wouldn't have been an illogical thing, and it wouldn't have been a crime, said the president.
No, and it's also, it's consistent with this theory about Trump that he didn't really ever expect to or perhaps even intend to win the presidency, and that his campaign initially was largely conceived as a brand-building and business-generating enterprise. I mean, that's certainly how many in his inner circle treated it. It's how Paul Manafort treated it. It's how Michael Flynn treated it, how the Trump children treated it. And if Trump saw running for the presidency as a way to position himself for building a tower in Moscow and who knows wherever else, I mean, that's consistent with this theory that people have had about Trump for a long time now.
Two other things I'll just ask you to comment on. One is, the purpose of the Mueller investigation isn't to see if Trump colluded. It's to see to what degree the Russians hacked the election. Is that a fair read?
I think that the so we know. I mean, Russia did hack the Democratic National Committee. We have no evidence so far that that Russia interfered with voting on Election Day. But I think the math is really overwhelming now in terms of the Russian information warfare that Russia waged throughout the campaign and reached more than 126 million Americans on Facebook. It's hard to argue at this point that that wasn't potentially decisive interference by Russia
well,
in that
Greg,
election.
Well, thank you, Greg, because my point is, even if the president is found not to be culpable, even if his campaign comes out clean, which is a stretch, but suppose that happens, there's this rush to wrap it up because we're spending too much time on it. And I'm thinking for the sake of the integrity of U.S. elections, I think they should take all the time and be as industrious as they need to be, let the chips fall where they may. That continues to bug me when Sean Hannity or Sarah Sanders or Donald Trump say there's nothing there. I'm like, well, then what are you guys worried about? Let's find out how involved the Russians were and how they were. And my belief is that's what Mueller's doing. One other thing, and that is that they talk about the length of this investigation, but this historically has not been an especially drawn-out investigation, right?
No, it hasn't. Not when you look back at other investigations, including Whitewater or Benghazi, or even the resources put toward those investigations. Now, I mean, I think Mueller has worked rapidly. It's also, I think, a little bit hypocritical for Trump and his defenders to say, look, this is taking way too long. It's only, you know, it took the president nearly a year and a half to figure out whether he was ever going to supply any answers to Mueller. He only provided those just a day or so before Thanksgiving. So he dragged that out for more than a year. He can't say that Mueller's dragging his feet when, in fact, Trump has dragged his feet extensively as well.
Read The Apprentice. I don't know if you're taking a break over the holidays or if you want to just sort of catch up now on what happened and how we got here. The Apprentice is a page-turner. I so enjoyed your book, Greg, and I really enjoy your work. Thanks for joining us again.
Thank you so much for having me. I enjoyed it, too.
Greg Miller over at WAPO.